Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 24th of June, recording at 9:24 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first, let's have a quick review of the week here. In terms of stock markets, well, it hasn't been short of rock and roll. The Asian markets have been the strongest performers. The ASEAN sector has been particularly firm, moving up to test their highs, and led by Indonesia and Malaysia, with Philippines following closely. Also, China A shares, big upward dynamic yesterday and an even bigger one here today. And we had the same in India, a small upward dynamic yesterday, very big one in here today. Interesting stuff. Now, it also produced gains of 2% on Hong Kong and throughout, well, the HSCEI, also very strong. That's the H share index, Hong Kong H share index. Now, in the European stock markets, well, mixed is the best way to put it. Some, they've lost downward momentum. Some are near MAs like the DAX and others near the March lows. That's all we can say, really. Some loss of downward momentum. And in the Americas, well, Brazil has been soft generally. Wall Street's had some very volatile action, and it closed down today. 1% nearly for the Dow, 1.17 for the S&P. That's down 15 points to 1268.45. And we've got the NASDAQ composite down 1.25. But we had a big rally a couple of days ago, and the NASDAQ also recovered all of its losses yesterday, but weaker today. Long-dated government bond prices steady pretty well across the boards, although not running away up here. The U.S. Treasury market has been just edging higher quite gradually. Now, in the U.S. dollar, steady on the U.S. dollar index. That's because the euro has been weak down to 141.83. And sterling's back under 160 at 159.62. The dollar is range bound against the Asian dollar index, and it's a little firmer against the Australian and the Canadian dollars in here. One of the reasons perhaps for the weakness in those two currencies, the Canadian and the Australian dollar, is that the capitulation selling that we had seen in stock markets caught up with precious metals yesterday and today. And we've had some big downward hits here. Yesterday and today we had big downward dynamics on gold, for instance. That's brought it back to 15, got down to 14.98 and 90 cents today. It closed in here at 1502 and 60 cents. We've got platinum back down to 1691. We've got palladium back down to 734. Silver had its big selling earlier on, of course, but it's at 3432, so it sagged as well in here. Industrial metals, bit mixed. Copper is been reasonably steady, 410. And the grain and bean complex has been hit hard. Crude oil's been hit hard, not least yesterday on the IEA country announcement that strategic reserves of oil would be reduced, would be released, rather, to alleviate the tightness of supplies. And that has certainly had some effect. And I think that's grain and bean complex, weaker as well. So commodities, mostly some additional deleveraging. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, deleveraging is the operative word here. We've seen stock markets on the defensive, with the exception of the ASEAN sector, and most recently here we've seen a return of interest in some of the Asian markets, although that may be mostly short covering in China and India at this stage, causing those upward dynamics. It's still a nervous environment here overall. We are still in a corrective phase, although where we had a one-way street pretty much. And I think Wall Street's been down 7 days in a week. I laugh at my own tongue twister there, but at Wall Street down 7 weeks consecutively here, that we've had steadier action here. If with a number of markets in terms of losing some downward momentum against the background of quite an oversold condition, and that includes Wall Street, which had pulled back to the MA and pulled back to the March lows. And I've been talking about a technical rally, nothing more than a technical rally here at this stage, and we've seen some of that, but nothing to write home about here so far, but these rallies have to start somewhere, and we are, as I say, I emphasize this deeply oversold condition here after 7 weeks to the downside on Wall Street. And while the percentage isn't big, it's been quite persistent. It has created some interesting oversold levels on some of the indicators. And a lot of nervousness in here, some deterioration in sentiment, all predictable, the deterioration in sentiment during a corrective phase. One of the most interesting things that's happened this week came out today, Wen Xiaoping, the Chinese premier, with a confident article that under his name in the Financial Times, saying that they were confident of getting the inflation under control, were already doing so. Well, he probably knows what he's talking about, although inevitably the article will be regarded with cynicism in some quarters. It's a bit of a launch for his European trip, where I suspect that he will help to shore up indebted European nations, starting with Greece, or I suspect he will do this, sort of riding to the rescue. And in terms of China's inflation, he wouldn't have a lot to gain from exaggerating the situation, quite the opposite, really. And he would know more about, since, well, I believe 70% of China's CPI inflation recently has been from food prices. And he would know more about the availability and distribution of food and crops there. He made some bullish comments on the grains in terms of supply increases. So I think I'd be inclined to take his word on this. And then there were other statements about what China's achieved, really, since the big meltdown that we had in 2008, with its steady growth creating lots of jobs. But see, it's interesting. It's a very interesting comment. And I'm sure that there isn't another politician around ahead of government who wouldn't wish that he could speak from the same hymn sheet in terms of achievements. That's worth pondering. Now, I've been saying that China's oversold and undervalued here, or values are attractive here once again, and values are improved in India and really in most of Greater Asia. But really, the Wall Street leash effect having been negative, we would be requiring a repeat of what we did see this time last year, which was uncoupling, very rare, where the ASEAN sector led Asia higher, while Wall Street sort of churned near its correction lows before eventually moving up strongly in September with the help of Mr. Bernanke's QE2. But I commented a lot on that, and that it showed that the Wall Street leash effect wasn't the all-powerful force that it had been almost always in the past. And that kind of makes sense as the growth economies improve in importance and their markets become more important. But will we get it, or will that repeat itself this time? Well, we'll have to see. I'm not going to try to predict that, but the the evidence of these ASEAN from these ASEAN markets is interesting. So I certainly wouldn't rule it out. I'll put it that way. Overall, in terms of markets, we have a possibility of a summer rally that sometimes occurs. That would require, I think, a calming of nerves regarding Greek debt. You know, that's a crisis that can't possibly be resolved. Maybe Wen Xiaoping should buy the Parthenon and take it back to some sort of resort area in China. It's a bad joke, I'm sorry, but it is Friday and late in the evening here. So again, that European problem is going to rumble on for quite some time. That'll keep the euro generally soft. That's good for Germany in terms of their exports, which go all around the world. But basically, Germany accepted Europe's very slow growth area or a recession area for a lot of those economies. The US economy's growth has really slowed. I know when I were talking about this morning, he was a bit incredulous that Bernanke was saying, well, he didn't quite know why it had slowed down. Well, what about that oil spike? That was pretty important, and that usually does slow. That has always, the spike in oil has always slowed growth and often caused recessions. It wasn't a huge spike, so we may get away without a double dip, should get away without a double dip in the US economy, but it may well feel like a double dip. But we have to differentiate again between the economy and the stock market, in the sense that there are some very good relative performers among the sector that we like in the USA, which is the big multinational companies, which are leveraged to the global economy, particularly leveraged to the consumer economy, whether that's Apple or Procter and Gamble. Owen was writing about Tiffany here today. There are a number of them, and he's covered some of them in here today. And those companies, those big U.S. multinational companies, that's the one big plus factor there in the U.S. economy on a short to medium term basis, and hopefully also a longer term basis. Amidst all the gloom and fear, the retreat in commodity prices is a very positive development. Certainly some deleveraging there, people coming out of some of these tracker funds, that's a good thing. We need to see crude oil lower still, and there's a delayed reaction before that kicks in positively, although stock markets would probably anticipate it. May weigh on the energy sector a little bit, but they're doing awfully well at anything remotely close to these prices. And of course, the shares didn't follow the spike upwards in oil because people know that those things don't last. So again, In the pros and cons here, we've got the weak GDP growth. I think corporate profit estimates are too high, but and we've got this European sovereign debt situation, and we've got the mortgage fiasco in the U.S. and weak balance sheets, bank balance sheets there. On the plus side here, I think that we are months, if not a few months, if not a few weeks away from a change in monetary policy coming from China and probably India. I think India has overdone it on the tightening for this environment. And maybe the stock markets in those two countries have begun to sense that there'll be a change in monetary policy. That would be positive. Monetary policy in the USA is going to remain it's very accommodative. Ben Bernanke's made that very, very clear. Will we get a QE3? Well, not immediately. And that would be embarrassing for them. But he has got his mandate, and if unemployment continues to rise and if the economy continues to weaken, we can pretty well assume that something's going to happen. If not QE3, well, QE3 may possibly under another name. We'll see. But I wouldn't be despondent in here. This has been a predictable corrective phase. It would be best to assume that it's not over, but valuations have improved considerably despite some earnings downgrades. And I think that there's still a better than even chance that we will see a decent fourth quarter in here and carrying on into 2012, this forecast for some months here. Now, it doesn't pay to look too very far ahead in terms of forecasting market swings. It's hard enough to do it in the very short term, but I do think that I certainly feel that we have a reasonable chance of that, a better than 50-50 chance of that strength in the fourth quarter. And if the ASEAN stock markets, let's look at the lead indicators, if they break upwards and hold it and move on, and if monetary policy does change in China and India, that'll increase the prospects for that. Okay. And the Fuller Money themes, I think a lot of them are back into buying, most of them, all of them, perhaps in back into buying ranges, except the ones that are running away on the upside, such as some of those very big multinational, successful multinational companies. But I would only nibble incrementally in here, and I wouldn't pay up because we might well have choppy action here for a little while longer. Okay, moving on to the long-dated government bond prices. Well, it's been one heck of a rally, and I think they're discounting a lot of, a lot more slowdown than we're probably likely to see in a number of countries which have seen their bond markets rally. But until these rallies are snapped, I obviously would not rule out the possibility that yields go a little bit lower, particularly if stock markets are weak. Not a great deal more to say about that. I think the returns are ludicrous. Why should one settle for a 4% yield, 4.25% yield in a 30-year U.S. Treasury, or a 2.9% yield in 10-year U.S. Treasury, when there are plenty of shares out there around the globe, including in the Asian markets, where you can get yields of 5, 6, occasionally even 7% covered. So I don't like bonds here generally. What about currencies? I don't think we're going to see any really big drama on a longer term basis. I would expect the Asian currencies to move higher, and also the resources currencies to move higher. And the uglies here are the US dollar and the euro and sterling. But all have taken a big beating, not least sterling and the US dollar. And therefore, we probably get more ranging. Swiss franc has just been unbelievably strong. The Swiss don't like it, but they've been loath to come in and try to intervene again so far. This time. Certainly, if we get confidence improving globally, I think we would see the Swiss start to come back somewhat. And an indication that that could easily happen is provided by the recent sell-off that we've seen in precious metals. Now, precious metals remain a sector that we like, and I would regard gold as the ultimate currency, the ultimate preserve of wealth. But as I've said before, and as you've certainly seen, precious metals, gold is not immune to capitulation selling when Wall Streets go rattling down. We saw that in 2008, although gold fell less than other forms of investments, and recovered very quickly. And it would do so again, but it can see some more mean reversion towards a rising MA here during this seasonal period of underperformance. I think that would be a good scenario should that continue. And we've had two big downward dynamics, as I mentioned earlier, here this week on Thursday and today. And that would suit to have these quiet, ease back maybe a little bit further, get nice and short-term oversold as we get into August and then September, when I think and hope that these markets will be running again to the upside. I would not, and I have not been tempted to open any longs in this environment. I'm not doing much in terms of trading. It's too hard, I think, in this choppy environment. And one might say, well, come on, that's the challenge. Let's do that. But I don't mind sitting on the sidelines and waiting until the environment is much more likely to produce some attractive trends and some of the things that where I like the liquidity and the lower dealing costs. But point made here. Don't want to go on too long in this audio. Crude oil, again, I mentioned, I think it will go lower, and that's good. We need to see it go lower. What we're really getting is a reset. Let crude come down. And hopefully, then more people shorted as Owen did, and we get it lower and looking relatively cheap once again. Let's see a number of these other commodities, particularly where there are big speculative positions, come down. That would be very good, and that would tie in with a more favorable environment for the fourth quarter. So we need to see that a big dent made in that commodity price inflation, and I think there's a good chance that we will see that, and then it'll all pick up again. Stock markets will pick up, GDP growth will pick up, the commodities will heat up again. It's a cycle in a secular bull phase that I think we're going to, well, we've been seeing it for a decade, and we're going to see it for a good deal longer, I believe. And when the commodities become too popular and all the rage, then then there are big risks. They come off again. And so do stock markets. And, you know, I think that's pretty much it. So, I'll wish you a fantastic weekend, and not to create too much energy, but I'm looking forward to my own weekend. My eldest daughter is taking me to Wimbledon tomorrow. Haven't been there in a long time. Looking forward to it. Hope you're doing something equally of equal interest to you. All the best to all of you. Back Monday.